Blog Talk Radio.
Donkey, you chose.
Ladies, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. It's called the Jewel of Pantego. The Jewel of Pantego, also known as the Mansions on Park Row. They have everything. Yes, everything. Hairstylists, beauty and skincare specialists, massage therapists, fitness, and even a clothing and bridal boutique that has its own fashion designer and stylist. That's right, at the Mansions on Park Row, you'll find all that you need to look and feel your very best. Located at 2700 West Park Road Drive in Pantego, Texas. Come by and get pampered from head to toe. You've earned it.
Sean Doan, my buddy's my nice. If you really take that in consideration, what she did, you know, Jesus told a man, I can't remember where it was at, but he told this man, he asked him a question, he said, do you want to be made whole? And I wonder, why would he say that? But it's a question. Do you want to be made whole? So in Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 20, the Bible says, and suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made whole. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, here we go again. She made the visible faith of reaching out and touching the hem of his garment. And it says, when Jesus turned around, he saw her. He saw her faith. And he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you whole. And the woman was made whole from that very hour. We just talked about it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Check this out. In Malachi chapter 4, the Bible says, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. So that woman had read that or heard that scripture in Malachi, and the wings is the hem of the garment. So she heard that there was healing in his wings. So she reached out and touched the hem of his garment and was made whole. Her visible faith led to her breakthrough, led to her healing.
Hallelujah.
And I'm telling you, I was reading the Malachi 3 one time, and the Bible says that bring your tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. Understand that. If you're watching, those tithes are coming into the storehouse for meat, not milk. We need to bring meat into the storehouse. And when I read that one time, God went ahead and said, bring the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. And he said, test me in this. And I was reading that one time, and the Lord just spoke to me so clear. Test me in all of this. God is not a man that he should lie. Test him. He's not scared of you testing him. He's not scared of you examining him, because what you're going to find out is the truth. And so test him in the whole word of God from Genesis to Revelation and see what he'll do.
Amen. Yeah. Well, you know, and again, a lot of people talk about this, but here's the thing. That woman had an issue, okay, and she wasn't healed. It doesn't matter what it was exactly, but we know the whole blood situation. It could have been a broken arm. It could have been leprosy, anything. But, you know, the thing is, it don't matter what it is. The condition, it don't matter what the circumstances.
If she would have been caught out there in that culture, they would have stoned her.
Yeah, but regardless, is the fact it don't matter the circumstance. What matters is the faith in you that rises up, because God is above any circumstance.
That's
right. So guess what? You could have blood. They could try to kill you. It don't matter. Okay, you could have leprosy. They'll try to kill you too. They'll say, get away. But guess what? God is way above your circumstances. But we get bound by circumstances like a tether, like a dog is tethered to the ground. He's only going so far. And that's because of our lack of faith. Our faith will allow us free range for the things of God. See, our faith is our kingdom currency. So whatever we want in this natural life, and also leading to the eternal life, we need to rise up and save, because our faith is our currency. Okay, it's the kingdom currency. You want to have $1 million in your account and 10 cents in your faith bank account, you're in trouble. You need to have a quadrillion. There is a word, quadrillion. Okay, quadrillion dollars worth of faith. Okay, currency and faith in your heart. And everything will follow. Everything will follow. Seek ye his kingdom first. How do you do that? Because you have faith. Then, and his righteousness. How do you achieve God's righteousness? Only one way. Through his son.
Right.
And through your faith. So you want to be righteous? You got to have faith. And we're going to demonstrate that with scripture in a minute. You have to have faith.
Yeah, and so far in what we've been talking about, like Zacchaeus, he climbed up. His visible faith was climbing up in a tree. This woman, her visible faith was reaching out and touching the hem of his garment. You know, we talked about first. We talked about the men that brought the paralytic and they broke through the roof. Our visible faith is taking God at his word. Our visible faith is taking God at his word and doing what his word says.
It's an action.
That's right.
When it's going to speak louder than any word, a little action is louder than the loudest word. So we know this. So again, it's our job. God will do what he's going to do because he's God. So he puts some stuff on us. And again, you know, with this day and age, you need that audio Bible. You got, you know, all types of ways to have access to the Word of God. You could even be lazy and not even read it with your own eyes. You just hear what you hear. And there's nothing wrong with that either, I'm sure, because it says faith comes by hearing. So guess what? Back then, everyone didn't have a Bible. They weren't as blessed. They had to hear the Word from the man or woman of God, from the Holy Scriptures, through the revelation that God put upon their heart. So here it is. Even in your car, go get one of those apps, whatever, that you can listen to if you have a hard time reading. And if you say, I can't read, my mama didn't teach you how to read. Guess what? It don't matter. Jesus will show you how to read.
That's right.
And you can listen to it until you figure it out. So I pray right now for everybody watching that you will receive the breakthrough. And if you're having a hard time getting in the Word, that's okay. Because guess what? The devil's doing his best to keep you from understanding and blocking you from that word. He's trying to fill you, your heart with different things so you don't read the word. But God wants you to know, come to know him through his written word as well, and also through himself personally. So but we need to start with the written stuff. Well, I don't know if that's what we need to start, but we need to get involved in, for sure.
You know, you were just talking about how Pastor Eric and Mark and Mark's other son was out there together. And you were talking about the audio Bible. It reminded me of how my grandson, when he was 3 years old, he asked me for Christmas. What he wanted for Christmas was the Wonder Bible.
Yeah.
And it's an audio Bible. And I'm thinking, man, Lord, you're so good. I mean, I just talked about how I took my three-year-old son 30 years ago out to a rock and roll concert. But my three-year-old grandson wants a Wonder Bible for Christmas. I mean, that's what God will do. What the devil means for bad, he'll turn it to good. And he's no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter where you're at right now. It doesn't matter where you've been.
No, that's true. And here's what it says. This is an archive. It's interesting. But you who fear my name, the son of righteousness. The son is spelled S-U-N. So whatever that means, I'm not sure, but it's interesting. The son of righteousness. So here it is. Just get your faith up. And how do you do it? Get around people with faith. It'll rub off on you. Tell somebody to lay hands on you that has faith and impart some. And ask God, because I heard that prayer too. When the guy said, forgive me for my lack of faith, because his son was blah, 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 messed up in the thing. And Jesus said, just forgive me for my lack of faith, Lord. You know what I mean? And Jesus still healed his son. And help me with my faith. It's okay. God, help me with my faith. Jesus, help me with my faith. And he's going to say, well, you want me to help you with faith? Get my word.
You know, God's, you're not going to surprise God. He's not up there and you say something to him. And like the one guy said, you know, I believe, help my unbelief. God's not going to be up there going, oh, I never thought about that. Or you know, you're not going to surprise him. Just come to him open. We're already open and naked. Just come to him and transparency. That's what he wants.
We're going to move on because we've got about 12 minutes and three scriptures. So here we go. James 1, verse 21, if you follow through. And the book of James is great, so I recommend anyone who needs to get a little bit of help with their faith, get into that book, because it'll help you for sure. You get a jumpstart on your walk. Therefore, it says in James 1, 21, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. All. Remember that word, all filthiness. And receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. So here it is. That implanted word is put inside of you. It's put inside of me. It's put inside of everyone. God will not, there's no exception to the rule. Even the devil worshipers, they have this word implanted. The only problem is they don't, not watering it and not nurturing it. So there it is. This word is inside each and every one. And I don't care if you're watching, if you're listening, it is inside of you. So here it is. This word will save your soul. That's your eternity. Okay? Forget about your flesh. Your soul will last forever. Your flesh is going to fade away. So your soul you need to be concerned about. So this word is inside you. So here it is. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. Okay? When you hear something, think of a way to practice or test it. Somebody shows you a new play. If you're a football player, a new play in the book, what are you going to do? You're going to get on the field with your team and run it, okay? So when you read something in the Bible, you hear something from someone you trust and respect that you know they're leading you in the right direction, you hear a play, run it, okay? Because this book is full of plays. It's our playbook. Go playing for people, helping people, doing all this. It'll show you things that we need to do in the physical, okay? And we need to run those plays. So here it is. For if anyone is just a hearer but not a doer, he's like a man who is observing his natural face in the mirror. He observes himself and goes away and forgets what kind of man he was. You have to remember this word and stay in it constantly, what it's saying. Because if you read it, get an idea, and you try it, and then you don't get back into the word again for a long time, it's going to dissipate and you're going to stop doing these things. So that's it. So we need to know that we need to be a doer of what we hear. You sit in school for how many years? College. What? You're learning how to be a welder. You're learning how to be an accountant. You're learning how to be a doctor. You're going to sit there to hear the instruction. But then when you graduate or go out, you're going to do what they taught you. This word will teach you things. So it's important to apply it.
Yeah, and you're talking about how we, you know, do what we hear. But we have to know the word of God. Because, you know, the Bible says in Psalm, do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly.
Oh, yes.
So we have to know, and the Bible says to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ.
Yes.
In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. So we take every thought to the obedience of the Word of God. So we have to know, otherwise you're going to be deceived. There are false prophets. So if you don't know the word of God for yourself, Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But Jesus said this, and he's saying this to us right now. But who do you say that I am? We have to know him for ourselves, and we get to know him for ourselves through the word of God, through prayer, through the relationship, through praying in the Holy Ghost, and we have to know him for ourselves. Otherwise, we're going to be deceived. So you can't just listen to everything that you hear. I mean, you can watch TV, and my goodness, whew.
Well, you know, God sent Jesus to die for me, you, Bobby, or everyone watching individually, but he also died for us collectively in one unit. We need to stand together, and we need to, you know, make room for each other's faults, and you know, there comes a point that we come to learn this word. We know a lot, but then we learn more so we can help others. So the thing is this, if you're just poking your nose in the Bible so you could call somebody out or mock the word or tell someone how wrong they were. So I've been there. That's not going to help, because here it is. You can't be sex seekers, right? Run around looking for little things wrong with other people. We've got to look at what's in our heart. All right, and that's what it's about, looking in the mirror also.
Yeah.
And forgetting your reflection, because when we look in that mirror, we see the blemishes. We see the spots.
Yes,
this word reveals it to us. Yo, yeah, we were once sinners by saved by grace, but I believe right now that that's a one-time deal. But now when we have the faith in us, we believe and we are the righteousness of God through our faith in Christ Jesus. But we never forget where we came and what God done for us. It keeps us humble. So here it is. This word will, and there's a lot of things we still need to change, all of us, everyone. And this word will reveal that stuff to us.
And it's right here, what you just said, you know, the implanted word, what it says is to receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And it says that the man is blessed who continues in the perfect law of liberty. It can't just be a one-time or once a week. I'm telling you, man, it's an everyday, when you continue in the perfect law of liberty, the Bible says that man will be blessed, that woman will be blessed in whatever they do.
Yeah, that's right. That's going back to Joshua.
Yeah.
We need to meditate on this word, because guess what? The world system is designed to drag us to hell. To you, me, anyone watching, anyone hearing, there's no difference. The devil wants to drag you to hell. The hell was created for the devil, but guess what? Anyone who doesn't believe on Christ Jesus, that's where they're going to spend their eternity. It ain't as simple as just dying and going to sleep. Our soul and our conscience will be forever. And there's only two destinations. All right? There's blessings, there's cursings, there's life or death. I tell you, choose life. Life is reconciled upon through Jesus Christ back onto the Creator, God our Father. And death equates to unbelief, no faith, you know, going and burning in hell.
Right? You know, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And Jesus went on to say that for God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And it says that he who believes in him is saved, but he who does not believe is condemned already. It's a matter of having the implanted word in you. And hearing, and you know, you're not going to hear without a preacher, and the preacher's not going to go unless they're sent. And so it's like the guy that, the Lazarus and the rich man. I mean, that man, we talked about the leper who Jesus told him, don't tell anybody. He told everybody. He's telling us to tell everybody. We don't tell anybody. But that rich man that was in hell, when he realized he wasn't getting out, he became a soul winner.
Yeah.
He said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my house, because I have five brothers and I don't want them coming here.
Yeah. All right, so pay attention to these next two scriptures, because we're going to close up in about 5 minutes. So, all right, Bobby, you ready to move on to Matthew?
Matthew 14,
yes,
we're going to be in Matthew 14, starting in verse 25. The Bible says, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. We talked about this. When we walk with God, we can be not afraid, and even if he calls us out onto the water, even if he calls us to step out of the boat, we can be not afraid when we're walking in close fellowship with God. Amen? Be of good cheer, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go with Jesus. But check this out. When Peter saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. When we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and not look at the storms, we don't have to sink. Check this out, though. Even if you do veer off and look at that word looking unto, those two words mean to look away from something so as to look at something else. So when you're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we're not looking at the storms. You know, when we look away from the storm and look unto Jesus, we're going to walk on that water like he says. But even if you veer off, if you're out there and you veered off from looking unto Jesus, understand something. When you cry out to him and say, save me, Lord, he's going to reach down and pull you up set your feet on a rock to stay. And I'm telling you, he will pull you out like Mark Cresgrove said. You know, he was in that miry clay. It doesn't matter if you're in the miry clay. Jesus is strong enough to pull you up out of that miry clay and set your feet on a rock to stay. Amen?
Well, hallelujah. And again, it's, everyone heard this story, the walking on water. It's about faith. And the one thing you want to know, if you get anything out of this event that happened, is the fact that when we keep our eyes on Jesus, we can walk on water. We're above the circumstance. The water was the circumstance, but the power of Jesus is greater than that. And when we take our eye off of Jesus, oops, yeah.
Right.
But the Jesus is still good enough to save you.
That's
and
right.
Just to answer a couple of things, does God love those he sends to hell? Absolutely he does. But it's not God's will to send anyone to hell. We go to hell by our choice. Because God given us a choice. And there's no tricky question in the word of God when God's in your heart. They're just ignorant people mocking. So here's the thing. God loves all, even the ones he sent to hell, because God is love. But if you end up in hell, that's that God didn't send you there.
No.
You chose to go there. You chose to go to hell. So don't blame God for your ignorance. Don't blame yourself. Be accountable for yourself, whoever's listening, that God did not want to send you to hell because the Bible says so. It's not his will to send you to hell. It's through our ignorance and through our thick-headedness, through our pride. Our pride sends us to hell.
You know,
because we don't want to receive
I've heard
it.
This before where
yeah.
somebody will say, how can a loving God send anyone to hell?
No,
God doesn't send anyone to hell.
No.
See, everything that we're talking about right here, none of this will make any sense and none of this will work unless we know God's love and receive God's love. Faith works by love. Faith works by us knowing how much God loves us. And until you receive that love, that none of this makes any sense. You cannot have faith without knowing how much God loves you.
Amen. You see it first. All right, ready? Here it is. Blog Radio listeners, we thank you for listening. Listen to this last scripture, but we're going to finish it off in Ephesians. But God, Ephesians 2, starting at 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. So by grace, you have been saved and raised up together and made us to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That in he agrees to come, he might show you exceedingly riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace, you've been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's a free gift of God. Log Radio listeners, hear this and hear this now. That God has a plan for you. He sent his son to die. Receive him in your heart and start anew because you are born again. It's by your faith you are born again. Okay, so that's all it is. Simple. Call out to God. God, forgive me for my lack of faith, but help me, Lord. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. He gives you a drop of faith. He'll give you the faith to believe that it's